Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A gorgeous afternoon in store at the State Fair and across the viewing area, but a whole other story tomorrow. I'm tracking up front. I'll show you when to expect the rain.
Plus, a ground invasion of Gaza appears imminent. The warning Israel issued today to millions of Palestinians.
Also, exactly 1 year ago, a teenaged gunman gunned down five people in the Headingham subdivision. Coming up, how the city of Raleigh plans to honor the victims. It is a big weekend, of course, for outdoor events in our area. Today, the very first full day of the North Carolina State Fair. You're taking a live look there now. Jeff and Renee obviously are not here. They are out there meeting people, and they're going to join us live in just a bit. Thanks for being with us, and good afternoon. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. The NC State Fair is not the only big event happening this weekend. There's also a concert, big college football games, and large festivals happening. Elizabeth Gardner is tracking a front in the WRAL Severe Weather Center, though, Elizabeth. We could see some showers tomorrow.
I know a lot of people would like to take today and just paste it onto tomorrow and the rest of the weekend. Beautiful afternoon for getting outside. Look at all these folks in their shorts and t-shirts here in Pinehurst at Pinehurst Resort and Country Club. Feels great out there right now. Our temperature mid-70s and we'll climb up to almost 80 degrees this afternoon. 73 in Fayetteville, 72 Goldsboro, 70 in Roxboro, 73 in Southern Pines. Just a lovely afternoon out there. Great afternoon at the State Fair. Temperatures this morning, of course, have been in the 70s. We're going to be in the mid-70s from lunchtime into the afternoon. Our high in the upper 70s this afternoon, but it still feels good. Our humidity is on the low side, and we stay dry. Late this evening, we'll start to see the clouds rolling in, but it looks like the rain will hold off until after midnight. We'll take a look at Futurecast. This is lunchtime, and you can see how clear the skies are. Just a beautiful day out there. Here come the clouds. Those clouds will start to roll in around 9 or 10 o'clock, and there may be a sprinkle or two in a couple of spots. That's midnight. I wouldn't be too worried about staying all evening at the fair until the fireworks go off and they close the gates. It's going to be tomorrow that we're going to be dealing with the rain. Around 6 a.m., we start to see some of that rain pushing in. It's fairly widespread in the morning. There's 8 a.m. all the way up through noon. Once we hit lunchtime, we start to see that rain pulling away. There could still be a few scattered showers into the afternoon, but the bulk of the rain is going to be the first half of the day. There may be a few peaks of sunshine in the afternoon, but don't be surprised by this. There might also be an evening sprinkle after dinner time. If you're Saturday night going to be hanging out late at the fair, there might be just a little light shower that happens. The rest of the day today, though, looks absolutely beautiful. Again, looking at temperatures in the upper 70s. We'll talk a little bit more about Saturday's temperatures and what happens behind the front for the second half of the weekend coming up.
To the Middle East, where Israel is preparing a potential ground invasion of Gaza. Hundreds of Palestinians began fleeing northern Gaza today. This after Israel's military ordered 1.1 million people to leave their homes and head south. Richard Engel explains. Many say they have nowhere to go.
The IDF calls for the evacuation of all civilians from Gaza City.
Israel overnight warned more than 1 million Palestinians to evacuate their homes within 24 hours. As it continues to attack the Gaza Strip and cut it off. Israel says it had no choice but to attack Gaza to disarm and deter Hamas after its gunmen butchered 1,300 Israelis and foreigners and kidnapped upwards of 150. And it's flattening the Gaza Strip to do it, with around-the-clock airstrikes and tanks taking up positions and opening fire. Israel says it only targets Hamas. But what about the children? 40% of the 2 million Gazans are under 15. The UN says a humanitarian crisis is dire and getting worse. Hospitals in Gaza are overwhelmed with thousands of dead and wounded. Doctors are running out of supplies. And Israel has cut the power and water.
As I'm speaking, there is bombing everywhere around the hospital. The building is shaking. Every minute or 2 minutes. I don't know if we are going to see another day. And I hope my family is going okay.
Israeli troops and heavy weapons are now ringing Gaza. A ground assault could come soon. The brunt of it seems, will come from the north.
So as you can see, we're all preparing our bags and leaving our house.
Salma Shirab is a 22-year-old dental student.
No one has a place right now. If you have a car, just run. No one knows where we're going. But we're all evacuating.
Prime Minister Netanyahu says Hamas is like ISIS and released graphic photographs of children killed and mutilated by Hamas terrorists. He showed them to Secretary of State Blinken, who today traveled from Israel to Jordan on a mission to prevent the war from spreading across the region.
Some heart-wrenching reporting from Richard Engel there. As far as America's involvement, we know a second American aircraft carrying munitions is expected to arrive there later today, and the Biden administration pledging more support as the fighting ramps up.
And back here at home, 1 year ago, Raleigh was rocked by a deadly mass shooting. Today, the push for answers after the Headingham neighborhood attack continues. Five lives were cut short. Officer Gabriel Torres, Susan Karnatz, Mary Marshall, Nicole Connors, and James Thompson. The community will come together today to remember them and honor survivors and first responders. WREL's Kelsey Coffey joins us with a look at how the community is working to heal.
Today, people from across Raleigh will gather here at City Hall for a remembrance ceremony to honor those who lost their lives that day. Take a look at this video. You may remember what Headingham looked like in the immediate aftermath of the mass shooting. Flowers, candles, and notes spread across an entrance of the neighborhood. Neighbors will gather there tonight for a private candlelight vigil. Some people who live in the area formed what they call the CARES Committee to offer resources to their neighbors who still may be struggling. In an interview you'll only hear on WRAL, the president of the Headingham Homeowners Association, Kathleen Nielsen, describes how her community is fighting to cope now 1 year later.
I think the neighborhood is just unsettled now. They have done a lot of work to bring everybody together so that we can work towards healing.
And that community is healing by trying to find joy during a time that reminds them of so much pain. Tomorrow, they'll host a trunk or treat event for all of the children in their neighborhood in an effort to uplift people during this difficult time. And today's remembrance ceremony for the public is scheduled for 3:30. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News in Raleigh.
Tomorrow morning, an event to honor the first responders at Nash Square will be at 10 a.m. If you'd like to read more about the victims, the survivors, and the investigation into last year's tragedy, you can do so by visiting WREL.com or the WREL News app.
I'm Matt Hallhelm in the WREL Live Center. Students at an elementary school in Johnston County had to be evacuated this morning because of a potential gas leak. I'm going to show you some video from the WREL Breaking News Tracker on the scene there at Benson Elementary School. We just talked to the fire marshal there. About 600 students from that elementary school had to be evacuated after a construction crew on the campus hit a gas line. That gas line's been capped and it'll be fine. No one was injured in all this. The school is closed for the rest of the day. I want to show you on the map here. You have Benson Elementary School right here off of Highway 50 North there. All of those students have been taken just a mile or two away to Benson Middle School here. So that's where parents can go to pick up those students at Benson Middle School.
Weekend starting early. Glad everyone's okay. Thanks, Matt. Today is the last day to register to vote for next month's elections. Municipal elections are scheduled for November 7th. The voter registration deadline is 25 days before that election day, which is now. Mail-in registration applications must be postmarked by today, October 13th. Your county board of elections must receive it no later than 20 days before the election.
Well, we are waiting to see just how many people walk through the gates of the state fair on day one. Uh-huh. But today, state officials held the official opening ceremony.
So in the years past, Agricultural Commissioner Steve Troxler has cut the ribbon and this morning officially opened the 155th State Fair. There you have it. There's lots to enjoy, of course. They have new rides this year. There's a couple new rides, always new food, and a lot of great entertainment.
Too. Yeah, and you can visit us at the WREL tent. And right now, that is where we find Renee Chu and Jeff Hogan. They just wrapped up their shift, and now they're digging into some of those great treats. Guys, what'd you get?
Michelle and Dan, before we get to the food, just want to say thank you for holding down the fort so that Jeff and I can get started on having the best day ever. That's right. We just wrapped up our duties over at the WREL tent by Dorton Arena. Super long lines, you know, because they all wanted to see this guy. Or maybe it was to get the free stuff. Whatever the reason, it was awesome to see all the faces on the other side of the camera that wake up to us every morning. People are so nice.
Listen, if you think that they don't set their schedule by that graphic that we put up and say who's going to be here and when, lined up for Renee here this afternoon, And I know y'all are going to be out here as well, but so much fun. The opening ceremonies gets everything kicked off, right? But then there's so much going on here. I saw a one-handed juggler. I saw a bird show. I saw a fire safety demonstration. I mean, there's something for everybody.
And let's be honest, the lines are for the food, right? And they're 30 new, more than 30 new foods here out at the fair. And of course, I had to get some. Michelle, you're asking. All right, so this is from Korean Barbecue Bulgogi. This is the deep fried Korean sushi roll. Take a look at this. Marinated beef in there with rice rolled up and then deep fried. He put some sauce on it. This is good.
I'm going to hit up right down here, Fat Boys Barbecue and Catering, because they have a brisket and waffle on a stick. How about that? I can't wait for it. I'm going to wash it down with some lemonade here, and then I'm going to get a New York Italian Ice, because this is the largest mobile Italian ice truck on the East Coast, and it's right here for us. Perfect.
And at some point, we got to digest a little bit, but then we want to hit the rides, right?
Yeah, yeah. We're going to get to the rides. That's in the next half hour, so you wait for that. It's one of the new rides. You'll want to see this. And also, there's a dairy milking demonstration that's happening, and Dan, it coincides with the time that you're going to be out here later this afternoon, so I signed you up. I hope you don't mind.
I'll give it a shot. I will say, when I was out there last year, I'm relatively new, every single person came up to me and said, I just love watching you every morning.
Oh,
and I had to tell them,
no, it was you, Jeff.
I'm not Jeff. But, you know, eventually, Jeff, I just pretended to be you because it felt so good.
Channel 5 over in Germany every day. So, hello, Jeff. Hello.
Don't stop.
We'll hug you next week.
Oh, you're so sweet. All right. We'll catch you later.
Okay. Come on, get in here.
We love y'all. We love Channel 5.
I love it. And we love you. Oh, my gosh, guys. Have such a good time. And don't forget to look out for our tent on the northeast side of Dorton Arena. It's facing Restaurant Row. Dan's going to be out there later.
Right.
You're going to be with Lena from 2 to 3 today. And then tomorrow you have three opportunities to meet some WREL talent. Ken Smith and I will be out there from 11:30 until 1:30. And then Deborah Morgan and Gerald Owens will be there from 2 to 4, followed by Liz McLaughlin and Mark Boyle. They will be there 4:30 until 6:30. We are all going to be out there. It's going to be such a good time. You can find a full list on WREL.com. Just search fair.
And for anyone who thinks I'm Jeff Hogan, I take it as a compliment, 100%. So next here at noon, more people than ever are living with Alzheimer's disease, but the tools to fight it improve every year. Next week, the newest techniques and education will be on display here in the Triangle for free. We'll have the details.
Also, a COVID vaccine without a needle. The new idea is getting billions of tax dollars to develop.
Plus, one of the most beautiful celestial events is on the horizon, and it may have you singing a little Johnny Cash.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
More than 180,000 people in North Carolina are living with Alzheimer's disease, and more will be diagnosed within the next few years. Next week, the Alzheimer's Foundation is hosting a free educational conference in Raleigh to offer valuable information for caregivers. And joining us now is Tipa Snow, one of the country's leading dementia care specialists. She has 40 years of experience, and she is from Hillsborough. Tipa, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. This is such an important conversation to have. So let's start with this. You're one of the speakers at this conference. How can this conference help families that are navigating Alzheimer's disease?
Well, one of the very first things might be to find out what they're navigating isn't even Alzheimer's. It's Lewy body dementia. It's a frontal temporal dementia. It's postcortical atrophy. Because it turns out that all dementias are unique and different. And when we, in general, hear the word Alzheimer's, we have a certain profile, memory problems in mind. But in fact, the carer might be experiencing more language changes when their person is trying to find the, or it could be that they're seeing things that aren't there, or it could, so there's a whole variety of things that they could be finding out for the first time of like, oh, well, I thought it was Alzheimer's. And it's like, it is a dementia, but it is an Alzheimer's.
Oh, wow. Okay. And I mean, if there's one thing we know for sure, we know that dementia robs people of their memories and their identity. Your talk specifically focuses on how people should try to see more than just loss. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So for me to say, don't you remember Michelle? when obviously you ask me the same question again, you don't remember, you wouldn't have asked me. And I can say, so you're wanting to know what time your appointment is. It's at 2. Oh, hey, Michelle.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
You would want to say, yeah. And I would say, could you help me a minute?
Sure. Yeah.
And so we're moving away from the repetitive questioning, which often for carers is really distressing, mm-hmm. and into another area of function.
Yeah, no, that's a really good tip. And for families that might just be starting out on this journey, what's the first thing you want them to know in all of this?
Don't do it alone.
Build
a team.
Yeah. Yeah. And what else can they do? I mean, what if they are alone, truly? I mean, are there outreach programs that they can contact?
Absolutely. And what I would say is becoming knowledgeable, becoming skillful. As your person is losing skill, it's going to be really important you develop some new skills. And you want to figure out, what does that mean? How do I do that? So I would start by coming to something like this conference and finding out, wow, there's a lot out there I didn't know about. Resources, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, there's so much out there. There is so much to know. Tipa Snow, thank you so much for joining us in this very important conversation. We appreciate you.
You're welcome, Michelle.
The Alzheimer's and Caregiving Educational Conference is next Wednesday, the 18th. They do encourage that you register in advance. You can go to the Alzheimer's Foundation website listed there on your screen. The conference will be at the Hilton Raleigh North Hills Hotel on Wake Forest Road. That is from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m.
Wow, what a great resource. So how about this? Tomorrow, millions of people, they're hoping to catch a glimpse of this latest celestial event, the so-called Ring of Fire. It'll occur in North, Central, and South America. The annular solar eclipse is kind of like a total eclipse, but the moon is at its farthest point from Earth. So what that means is it can't completely block out the sun. Instead, the sun's light surrounds the moon's shadow and it creates that ring of fire. Although we are expecting a bit of cloud cover, but NASA Ambassador Tony Rice says not to be discouraged.
All we really need is a hole in the cloud enough to see the eclipse. I've looked at a lot of lunar eclipses through clouds worse than this, and some solar ones as well.
If you watch it in person, if you get lucky and you get a good shot of it, good for you. But if you don't, we got you covered. NASA's got you covered. They're going to host a live stream beginning at 11:30 a.m. And look, the next one doesn't happen until 2046. So maybe log on or, you know, set the reminder in your calendar. We'll remind you too. It turns out the weight of our galaxy might be a lot less than we previously thought. And you're saying to yourself, huh? We can weigh the galaxy? Well, apparently some people can. It's a very complicated process. It involves measuring the speed that stellar bodies travel to determine the galaxy's total mass. And these measurements show suspiciously slow-moving stars on the outskirts of the Milky Way. These are things that we're learning with the new telescope that we have up there. We're learning profoundly new things about our solar system and about the universe that surrounds us. But they tell us it could teach us a lot about dark matter, mm-hmm. also about the Big Bang, because it's starting to confuse scientists a little bit about the speed things are traveling as we go further out.
My goodness, look at that. That looks fake. It
really,
doesn't even look real.
Really
oh my
amazing.
Goodness, it's beautiful. All right, we got to get over to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner. Speaking of the celestial event, I think we're in that 20% view range, right? I don't think we're going to have a good chance.
So here's how all that works. So number one, we have to be able to see it. And so we're hoping that we'll have at least a few breaks in the clouds by the time we get to the early part of the afternoon. It peaks at around 1:30 or so, and we're not going to see the whole annular eclipse. What we will see is what looks like somebody bit a cookie-sized piece out of the sun there. So that's what it'll look like for us. We'll just have a little piece, what it looks like bitten out of it. We do have the total eclipse that's coming up in April of just next year. So we have another one. It's a little different from the annular eclipse that we'll see on Saturday, but the total eclipse can be even cooler if you can actually get to it. It's not going to be too far from us, but it will be a drive. And as we get closer to that, we'll talk more about it. Lots of fun at the fair this weekend. In the morning, Saturday is going to be wet. We have a cold front that's back to our west. It's going to come sweeping through. We're going to see another nice sunny afternoon, but we do have some cloud cover that comes in this evening. It's likely to be pretty wet for us in the morning. You can see there at 8 o'clock, a good coverage of rain. The gates open at 9. By the time we get to lunchtime into the early part of the afternoon, we're going to start to see the rain pulling away. There could be an isolated shower that still pops up in the afternoon, but if you're headed to the fair, you know, there are lots of great places to get indoors, to see exhibits, to take a look at the animals. And it really looks like just patchy showers, maybe early afternoon, and then drying out through the remainder of the afternoon with a chance of a sprinkle during the evening. You see there 9 or 10 o'clock, so fairly late there could be an isolated shower. But definitely a beautiful afternoon, temperature climbing to almost 80 degrees later on today and staying pretty mild all the way through 8 p.m. We're still looking at around 71 degrees. Around town, 79 in Raleigh, 78 in Durham, 78 in Fayetteville. Such a pretty afternoon. 74 is our normal high. This is going to be the warmest day that we'll see of the next seven. Our front that comes through Saturday that brings us that rain that I was just showing you on FutureCast is also going to deliver some cooler temperatures. 67 Sunday, 62 Monday, and 64 on Tuesday. Sunday is likely to be dry, but it's also going to be cloudy, so keep that in mind as you're making your plans. Boy, this is a time so many people also like to head to the mountains. We are going to see some morning showers in the mountains and then drying out in the afternoon. Nice temperatures, Asheville at 76, Boone at around 65 tomorrow. And then on Sunday, some cloud cover, maybe a few sprinkles, but cooler. Grandfather Mountain at 45, Murphy, Bryson City temperatures will be in the upper 50s. Here's a look at the foliage and what is happening in the mountains. We have a strip from right near the Virginia line all the way down through Mount Mitchell where we have some nice moderate color. Those are going to be in the higher elevations, 5,000 feet and higher. And then we have fairly low color elsewhere, which means we have more to come. You take a look from some of those high elevation spots at Grandfather Mountain. Leslie Restivo sent us that Weather Watcher photo looking absolutely beautiful. If you're headed to the beaches, we're also looking at a fairly rainy day for tomorrow with temperatures in the 70s. And then our beach forecast on Sunday looks better. It'll be cloudy, but definitely drier. We take a look at our forecast here. Cloudy skies and cool on Sunday. And of course, we'll have some cool temperatures next week as well. We're going to talk more about when we could see a few sprinkles next week coming up in just a bit.
We live in such a lucky place. You want to go to the beach? It's nice. You want to go to the mountains? It's nice. You want to stay here? Go to the fair. Elizabeth, thanks.
Well, coming up for us at 5 o'clock, employees at one restaurant cleaned dirty dishes and then started making food without washing their hands.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. Five on Your Side shows us the problems at three restaurants that got B sanitation scores.
And tonight at 5:30, the U.S. is experiencing a shortage of a very important pain management medication. We're working to learn the reason as we look at some of the local impacts. Also, ahead here at noon, working remote kept millions of Americans pretty safe during the pandemic. We weren't moving out and about, but then companies slowly called employees back to the office. What a recent survey revealed about the cost of working on site.
Also, prices for some of our favorite foods could be impacted by declining numbers of plants and pollinators. A look at how it could affect your wallet.
Breaking sports news in the WRAL Live Center. WRAL has learned Howard Fagans, the coach at St. Augustine's University, the football coach there, has been fired. This is his first season. Take a look at some video just from a couple months ago. Back in March, that's when they hired him. He had been at Fayetteville State University before that. WRAL has learned that Fagans was fired now from St. Augs after playing an ineligible player. Now, the university has not commented on any of this. They've only scored 33 points this whole season. So that may play into this. Fagans replaced David Bowser, you may remember, who was also fired just back in January. Fagans has a long history here. He had been a player at UNC, also an NFL player.
All right, Matt, thank you. The government is spending $500 million to test future COVID vaccines. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has selected three initial next-generation vaccine candidates. They'll test a nasal spray and a possible skin patch. The funding is part of Project NextGen, a $5 billion government initiative to develop new and more durable COVID-19 vaccines and treatments. And this morning, Kaiser Permanente reached a tentative deal with the union representing tens of thousands of employees nearly a week after that historic strike. The details of the deal were not immediately known, but the union had been seeking better pay and improved staffing levels at Kaiser hospitals and other facilities. Rank and file union members will get to vote on the tentative agreement with their employer. Another strike could happen if they vote no.
More great football this weekend. Two of the most historic teams in college football squaring off tomorrow night. 10th-ranked USC will be in South Bend to play 21st-ranked Notre Dame. Kickoff for the game is at 7:30 tomorrow night right here on WRAL. Hey, the Bull City Race Fest is happening in Durham on Sunday. It's all happening at American Tobacco Campus. WRAL is a proud community sponsor and partner of this event. Allie Ingersoll will be out there as well as Jeff Hogan to MC the event.
Well, coming up, lawmakers on Capitol Hill are dealing with a major math problem. How Republicans hope to move forward after the possible nominee for House Speaker pulled out of the race.
And it is Fire Prevention Week. As you start to burn those leaves that are falling and making a mess, or you're lighting fire pits this fall, we're going to give you some tips, tell you how to stay safe.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Another dramatic twist this morning in the race to elect a new House Speaker. Overnight, Steve Scalise, the House Republican who was planned to be nominated, pulled out after it became clear that he could not lock down the votes necessary to win the job. As Caroline Shively reports, will the next lawmaker have a path to victory in a full House vote?
To be the next House Speaker, it's all about the math. Steve Scalise was the Republican nominee until he dropped out just 36 hours after he secured the GOP bid. With too many defectors within his own party, Scalise didn't see a path to victory in a full House vote.
There are still some people that have their own agendas.
I think we're going to get 217 votes.
House Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan might be the next man up. He lost to Scalise in a secret ballot by his Republican colleagues, but could try and rally support for a second go. His fate could be similar, but Jordan may have more diehard support.
He's the only man in the room that can rally 217 votes, and the best thing Republicans can do is get behind him.
And there's also talk of temporarily giving the interim leader more powers or resurrecting a Kevin McCarthy bid, even after his historic ouster.
One thing I've always told America, I'm never going to give up on him.
Anything to get the House moving after 10 days without a speaker. And for that entire time, the chamber has been inoperable, with the government set to shut down in a month and Israel at war.
We need to move forward with the business of America, and we also need to move forward with the business of America, helping Israel.
That was Caroline Shively reporting. Now, in order to be elected speaker, you need to reach the magic number of 217, meaning if all the Democrats and just five Republicans don't vote for the chosen candidate, a speaker cannot be elected. It remains a major barrier for other potential candidates like Jim Jordan as well.
We are keeping an eye on the minute-by-minute developments in Gaza, where right now a convoy of UN vehicles was seen in Gaza City today. Israel issued, as you may know, a warning to more than a million residents in the strip there to evacuate to the south. Israel is expected to launch a ground invasion soon. The State Department of Health and Human Services received some final federal approval from the Centers for Medicare, Medicaid Services to launch Medicaid expansion on December 1st. The state plan amendment is a required step in this situation to forward in implementing expansion and getting more than 600,000 people in North Carolina health care coverage. 300,000 North Carolinians will automatically be enrolled in full coverage on December 1st.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Wilson and Moore counties. A longtime Moore County teacher is getting a special honor today. The English wing at North Moore High School in Robbins will be dedicated today in honor of Iris W. Burns. She'll be celebrated during a ceremony in the school's English Hall at 6 o'clock tonight. The event will include a chance to talk with Burns and congratulate her. And in Rocky Mount, NCDOT is doubling the number of workers at the local NC Quick Pass office. They say demand for NC Quick Pass keeps going up, and they expect even more demand when the I-540 Phase 1 opens to traffic next spring. The call center in Rocky Mount opened last fall with 37 employees. The DOT plans to increase that number to 80.
Consider this new research. It's really something. It reveals that a large amount of plants may be wiped off the face of the earth before they're even discovered. Making matters worse, scientists say that the insects responsible for pollinating our plants, some of them that we rely on for foods and medicines, are also on the decline. Lauren Green takes a look at the causes and the potential health and economic impacts.
While inflation is still keeping food prices high, new studies reveal declining plant and pollinator populations could cause more pain for your wallet in the near future.
It's pretty grim.
Data published in this year's State of the World's Plants and Fungi report finds more than 75% of plants yet to be discovered on Earth are already at risk of going extinct. Researchers say flowering species are especially threatened.
We know that nearly half of all of our known species are at risk of extinction, 45%. And the ones we don't know about are even more at risk. We're looking at 3 in 4 of undescribed species are at risk of extinction.
The main culprit is habitat loss.
And the main driver of that is converting intact ecosystems to land that we as humans can make use of, so agricultural land, for example. And that's not really slowing down.
Another study published in the journal Science Advances finds the continued decline of flowering plants combined with above-average global temperatures are also causing the number of pollinating insects like bees, flies, and moths to drop by 61%. The study says pollinating insects in tropical regions of Asia, South America, and Africa are being hit hard. This could threaten vital cash crops like coffee and cocoa, which heavily rely on bees and flies to help them reproduce.
That was Lauren Green reporting. Researchers again say this reduction in plant and bee populations could also impact our health, citing how many medications are derived from plant materials.
Just ahead for us, 500,000 baby bibs and blankets are under recall. We'll tell you which company is issuing this and why.
And what if you could get your hands on items from your favorite Netflix shows? How the streaming giant is planning to do that and when? For news, traffic, and weather of the day, make sure to download the WRAL News app. All right, welcome back. You know, for my money, this might be the best time of year. I know, look, the lake is fun any time of year, I get it. But man, there's something about fall. It's just gorgeous. Lake Gaston looking great today. You're watching WRAL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRAL News app on your TV or streaming device. Important news here, nearly 500,000 baby bibs and blankets have been recalled due to a possible choking hazard. This recall involves roughly 450,000 Sleepyhead Loveys and bandana bibs. These are from Little Sleepies. The company says that the care instruction label on the product can detach and that poses a choking hazard for the little ones. So far at this point, no one has been injured, which is good, but if you have one of either of these, to remove that label or to return the product for a full refund. It is National Fire Prevention Week. The Consumer Product Safety Commission is issuing a warning about the dangers of flammable liquids. Thousands of people are treated in emergency rooms for burns and injuries associated with fuel containers. Properly storing these, using them, and handling fuel and gas cans or containers are all critical parts of fire safety.
The vapors itself can catch fire and flash back and explode, or they can flash forward violently and burn people nearby.
Experts say when filling a portable gas container with fuel at a gas station, maybe, you should place the container flat on the ground first. Then you should transport it in the trunk of a car or in the bed of a truck. Finally, immediately remove that container from your vehicle when you get to your destination.
Working full-time at the office is probably going to cost you. According to a new survey, 66% of U.S. employees who return to the office to work full-time spend an extra, on average, $51 every workday. Expenses, of course, include gas, parking, breakfast, or that expensive lunch. Half of the workers surveyed also said it's easier to maintain a work-life balance with a remote job. Netflix fans may soon be able to find items from their favorite shows in retail stores. The streaming service is planning to launch physical locations called Netflix House. The locations are expected to open in the U.S. by 2025. Each would offer merchandise, food, and experiences themed around its content. This comes after the company ended its DVD rental service by mail.
That's interesting, but I've heard Stranger Things. I'm sorry. That was terrible.
That was good.
Okay, two of the top names in entertainment united for a big night in Los Angeles. Coming up, the very touching social media post that's been liked nearly 2 million times.
And it's a great day to go to the state fair. We'll check back in with Jeff and Renee, who plan to test out some of the newest rides there.
I mean, that music right there, I mean, it really is. That's the kind of day
happy.
It is. I know. It's a Friday. The weather's beautiful. It's just an awesome day to get out to the fair. I'm going to be there in a little bit between 2 and 3 o'clock with Lena Tillett sitting at the WRAL booth.
Yes.
I'm excited to meet people. Yeah.
I know. It's going to be awesome. But the shift before you guys, it's Jeff and Renee. They are out there. They had food about a half an hour ago. Now they're on a carousel. How's it going out there?
Hey, we had to wait a half hour just to make it safe after the food and everything else, you know, just so we didn't get upset by this. But we're on a fast-paced ride. maneuver that's going to take off any second, I'm sure of it right now. It's the double-decker carousel. It's one of four new rides right here. And we got Renee on just in time because there were some questions about age restrictions, height restrictions. She made it. You're good.
32 exotic animals on this two-tiered carousel. Yes, so I picked the hummingbird. Jeff was gracious to sit by me. So we got the horse, but we have the dragon in front of you. We got a reindeer and unicorn in back and 1,000 lights on this carousel. So if you ride it at night, it will be beautifully illuminated. But so many of the kids here waiting in line could not wait to get on this new ride. It is certainly a big draw.
Looks like we have it to ourselves. Now, yep. There's two sets of stairs, 12 steps up right here. I take you to the top level of this. They tell me it's 60 feet high up there, and we were a little afraid of heights to go up that high, so we're just hanging out down here below. But the new rides, I said there's four of them. Two of them cost $1 million each.
Yeah, and this is more our speed, but there's also a surfer-themed ride called Wipeout. We might hit that up later, but for now,
I'm sworn off to
we'll do the double-decker carousel. And you can find more about all the new rides on WRL.com/fair.
Yeah, everybody's talking about what a great day it is out here, how beautiful the weather is, and they could not be more correct about that because it is gorgeous. Loving it.
So much fun. Dan and Michelle got to come out here.
Oh, Dan's going to be out there in just a few hours. Maybe he'll ride the carousel.
It looks fun. The double-decker? I don't know if I've ever seen one of those.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Have fun, guys.
Have a great time.
Yeah, and again, don't forget, we're going to be on the northeast side of Dorton Arena facing Restaurant Row. You'll see Lena. I'll be out there. This is between 2 and 3 o'clock. And tomorrow you have three opportunities to meet the people here on WRAL. Ken Smith and Michelle, they'll both be there from 11:30 until 1:30. And then Deb and Gerald, they're going to be there from 2 until 4. Also, Liz McLaughlin and Mark Boyle from 4:30 to 6:30. So whenever you decide to go, please swing on by. You'll meet some of the folks that you see here every day on WRAL.
And if you're heading out there early tomorrow morning, it looks like we might see a little bit of rain, Elizabeth.
It does. Jeff and Renee were saying, it is so pretty out there right now. We're seeing blue sky everywhere. Gorgeous day at the fair. A good shorts and t-shirts day at the fair. Our front that comes through tomorrow, it's going to usher in some chillier weather. So if you're hoping to bust out the sweaters, the rest of the week at the fair is going to be great for that. But tomorrow morning, definitely going to be wet. It doesn't look like a complete washout of a day. The heaviest rain will be first thing in the morning, and then we'll see some gradual dry out as we get through the afternoon. So you certainly could find some hours during the afternoon to be out at the fair and stay dry. If a little sprinkle comes through, there's so many other great things to see. You can check out some of the animals. The education building has great exhibits. Of course, all the contests. There's so much going on at the fair. Let's take a look at the rest of the viewing area. I mean, nothing but sunshine out there. Blue sky in Goldsboro, Apex, Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. There's our newsroom there in Fayetteville looking at lots of sunshine. But here comes our front that's going to bring us the rain for tomorrow. Ahead of that, it's nice and quiet and dry. Perfect football Friday evening. Temperatures will be mostly in the 70s. By 9 o'clock, we drop down to around 70 degrees. We will see increasing clouds, but not until around 9 or 10, and it looks like we will stay dry for football Friday. Here's a look at Futurecast, and you can see the clouds moving on in during the evening around 9 or 10 o'clock. There may be a few sprinkles closer to midnight, but the bulk of the rain comes rolling on in here between 6 and 8 a.m., and it looks fairly steady. A lot of yellow and orange showing up there. We could have some isolated thunderstorms as this moves through, especially in our eastern counties. But notice there at lunchtime, we're starting to see it pull on out. There might be a stray sprinkle on and off through the afternoon, and there'll be a mix of sun and clouds. Could be another evening sprinkle. So that may not be the complete end of it, but the bulk of the rain is going to happen tomorrow morning. Our severe weather threat to level one risk tomorrow. Again, along and east of I-95, parts of Edgecombe and Wilson County, Wayne County, and parts of Sampson County in that level one risk. That's where we could see some wind damage, but the best chance of wind damage is going to be much closer to the coast. Here's a look at some of our rainfall potential for the day tomorrow. Likely to be anywhere from maybe a tenth of an inch in the north to a quarter of an inch, maybe even 3/10 of an inch across the viewing areas. It doesn't look like it's going to be a lot of rain. We could use some rain, but if we don't see too much rain, it makes it easier to get out in the afternoon and do whatever it is you were going to do. College football, big games on Saturday. We have Livingstone at Fayetteville State. That's the earliest game at 2 o'clock. There still could be a sprinkle, but the bulk of the rain will be over by that point. And Miami plays at UNC. NC State plays at Duke, 7:30, 8 o'clock. Again, at that point, the rain is mostly over, minus a quick little sprinkle. Tropical Storm Sean is almost on its way out. You can see it fizzles out by really tomorrow and into the weekend. But another one headed out from the coast of Africa, 70% chance that this one develops. And you take a look at the model plots, and they are potentially headed toward the Leeward Islands. So that's one that we'll be watching over the next week or so. After today, temperatures begin to drop, 71 Saturday, and then highs are in the 60s from Sunday all the way through Wednesday. We're looking fairly dry. There could be a spring or two that pops up early next week, but for the most part, just some nice crisp fall weather coming.
All right, Elizabeth, thank you. A self-guided tour at a wildlife center, this is in Texas, takes a bit of a scary turn. What happened after this amazing selfie that is going to be pretty expensive?
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today.
Yeah, today marks 1 year since the mass shooting in Raleigh's Headingham neighborhood. The five people in your screen were all killed: Officer Gabriel Torres, Susan Carnatch, Mary Marshall, Nicole Connors, and James Thompson. Of course, something worth considering today. The community will come together to remember them and honor survivors and first responders.
And Israeli troops have started carrying out local raids in Gaza. That's according to the IDF. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the country is working with Israeli officials and international aid organizations to get aid to civilians in Gaza. He urged Israel to take every possible precaution to avoid harming civilians.
St. Augustine's has fired their football coach, Howard Fagans. It's his first season. WRL learned this today. A source told WRL that Fagans was fired after playing an ineligible player. SAU officials have not commented on the matter yet, but the Falcons are 0-6 after a 7-0 homecoming loss to Fayetteville State this past Saturday.
Some movie theaters nationwide are dropping etiquette rules for Taylor Swift's movies. The Eras Tour debuts today with $100 million in advance ticket sales. For the first time, Alamo Drafthouse is lifting its age restriction. It's also telling employees how to roll with the singing, dancing, and screaming that a theater packed with Swifties definitely promises. Yeah, and Taylor Swift is sharing her excitement and success with a fellow queen. Beyonce showed up for the premiere of her Eras Tour film in Los Angeles. Swift posted a message on Instagram that reads, in part, "I'm so glad I'll never know what my life would have been like without Beyonce's influence. She's been a guiding light throughout my career, and the fact that she showed up tonight was like an actual fairy tale." Queen Bee's own concert movie hits theaters in December.
What a moment there. A friendly giraffe crashed the party at a wildlife center in Texas. There are four members of a family. They thought it'd be a great idea to visit this center. While driving through the facility, the giraffe popped its head inside the sunroof of the vehicle. The giraffe then lost its footing and fell into the windshield, shattering it, sending glass raining down on the family. It scared the animal, of course. The giraffe ran off, appeared to be unharmed, fortunately. The family was physically okay, but they're waiting to hear from the insurance company about the windshield. Do you have giraffe insurance?
Imagine that claim that they see coming through. All right, our pet of the day is a quiet and calm guy who prefers to be a wallflower rather than the center of attention. Leonard is a 2-year-old neutered male cat. He can be a little shy in new places, but he's affectionate and warms up quickly. Just scratch him on the head and he won't be able to let his purring out. Leonard has FIV, which is a common condition in cats. He may need a few more checkups than a typical cat, but his FIV can be managed with just some minor precautions. For more information on Leonard, visit spcawake.org.
Later at 4 o'clock, a Rocky Mount woman is paying it forward, how she's helping feed her community after battling homelessness herself.
And NBC News Daily is next on WREL. Your next local news update will be in about 30 minutes from now.
You can get breaking news anytime with our WREL News app. Thank you for being with us here at noon. Go enjoy the fair and have a great day.
And go see Dan at the fair.
That's right.
Later today
at 2 o'clock. We'll see you then.
Have a great day.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.